Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, August 19th, 2013, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, video emerges of fake Muslim Brotherhood protesters staging events. Then, a writer for Time magazine celebrates drone strikes. And how reporting real news makes you a potential terrorist. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
They are the most blasphemous, disgusting, filthy, stinking, ugly, microscopic little devils.
Well, a very controversial tweet went out yesterday. It's from Time magazine's senior national correspondent, Michael Grunewald. And here's what he had to say. I can't wait to write a defense of the drone strike that takes out Julian Assange. Well, a lot of people want him to defend that statement right now. What he's calling for is the assassination of someone who had the temerity to point out government fraud and illegal government actions. And as Paul Joseph Watson points out in InfoWars, this is something that he has a history of doing. Time reporter who advocated drone strike on Assange loves Big Brother. Back in April, Grunewald wrote a piece for Time advocating ubiquitous surveillance cameras, gun control, drone warfare, NSA spying, government regulation of business, and basically any and all, quote, Big Brother intrusions into our private lives, as he put it, openly inviting the state to, quote, tread on me in order for big government to help, quote, protect other important rights. However, his definition of what constitutes rights is nowhere to be found in the actual Bill of Rights, points out Watson. Now, what he's talking about here is really just giving cover to tyranny. You know, when you invite government to assassinate people without trial, when you invite them to destroy our due process, what you're doing is you're inviting tyranny. And what he tries to do is portray this in a false trade-off of liberty to security. That is not the trade-off. As we pointed out many times, the opposite of liberty is not security. The opposite of liberty is slavery, and that's what you will get if you give up your liberty for the false promise of security. But this is what the mainstream media is complicit in. This is what the mainstream media works with the government in terms of putting out there. Now, they're also trying to criminalize behavior. In a story from The Guardian, they ask, is Glenn Greenwald's journalism now viewed as a terrorist occupation? The detention at Heathrow on Sunday of the Brazilian David Miranda is the sort of treatment that Western politicians love to deplore in Putin's Russia or Ahmadinejad's Iran. Miranda's phone and laptop were confiscated, and he was held incommunicado without access to friends or lawyers for the maximum 9 hours allowed under the UK law. It is the airport equivalent of smashing into someone's flat, rifling through their drawers, and stealing papers and documents. It's simple harassment and intimidation. His quote-unquote offense under the 2000 Terrorism Act of the United Kingdom was apparently to be the partner of a journalist, Glenn Greenwald. Greenwald himself is not known to have committed any offense unless journalism is now, quote, a terrorist occupation in the eyes of British and American politicians. Now, the question is it only journalists, however, that can point out when the government is violating laws? Is it only government employees who have whistleblower status? Are you really a journalist if you don't make money at journalism? I believe that everyone should have the capability and have the right to point out when the government itself is breaking laws. Now take a look at this video that shows fake Muslim Brotherhood protesters staging death and injuries. Here we got crisis actors who are pretending to be in various positions, holding those for obviously for still camera positions. What we need to understand here is that this is a complicated situation, and there's more going on here than just meets the eye. We need to understand how the media and how various factions will manipulate the media. We need to understand how propaganda works. That's a great example of how that's working. And we need to understand that besides these two factions, there's a lot of things happening. Just today, the CIA finally admitted, and so I guess now that they finally admitted it, it's now true, admitted that they overthrew the government in Iran 60 years ago. Yes, after 60 years, CIA finally admits that it was behind the 1953 coup, which deposed Iranian Prime Minister that stood up to the West. Marking the 60th anniversary of the overthrow of Iranian Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh, the National Security Archive is today posting recently declassified CIA documents on the U.S.'s role in the controversial operation. Now, American and British involvement in the ouster has long been public knowledge, but today's posting includes what is believed to be the CIA's first formal acknowledgement that the agency helped to plan and execute the coup. The National Security Archive filed a lawsuit back in 1999 for a well-known internal CIA narrative about the coup, and additional CIA materials were posted today, and they provide new specifics as well as insights into the intelligence agency's actions before and after the operation. The operation, codenamed TPA Jax, was conceived and approved at the highest levels of the American government, said the documents, and it took place on August the 19th, 1953, after negotiations between Britain and Iran over securing the UK access to Iranian oil broke down. That's right, just like Operation Northwoods, which happened in the early 1960s, we see a pattern of behavior here. This is something we may have to wait another 60 years to find out what's really going on in Egypt and to find out the true involvement of our government there, because our government is involved in this. Now, Jakari Jackson has a report about police abuse. If you're concerned about it and want to know what can be done in your community, you need to take a look at this report and see what Peaceful Streets is doing here in Austin and elsewhere.
Hey, my name is Pete Ayer. I'm one of the many folks involved with the decentralized copblock.org. I couldn't miss the Peaceful Streets Summit. I was out here last year, and myself, my buddy Jacob Crawford, who's a longtime cop watcher, we've been collaborating in the past. We've been brainstorming. We decided to hit the road, do a tour called the Police Accountability Tour. So we decided to make Austin the first stop on that tour, and because of the summit, there's a lot of awesome doers here we can learn from, and we look forward to, you know, taking some of that message and spreading it with others.
My name is Carlos Miller. I run the blog photographysnotacrime.com, and I write about the right to record in public, specifically police officers, to keep them accountable. You know, they're recording us, so we record them. We have the right to record them, except many times, as I've learned personally, as many people have learned, they don't recognize our right. I've been arrested 3 times. I've been acquitted 3 times. And, you know, so I really encourage that. I document people's experiences, people's arrests from around the country who get arrested for taking pictures, just to kind of keep a clearinghouse in my blog of all these incidents. And I try to do these stories and educate people, hopefully educate police officers as well, because they do need a lot of educating. And just to let them know that we're not going to stop. You know, they may have the guns, they may have the badges, they may have the authority and the power, and they may even have the judges and the courts in their pockets, but we have the numbers.
I'm with Veterans Against Police Abuse. The military and the police force should be entirely different entities. They should not overlap in anything, and the militarization of police, the escalation of force there, just means that actual criminals will escalate their own force.
The second annual Peaceful Streets Summit, how do you feel about this?
I'm pretty excited. It's been a lot of hard work, a lot of difficulty trying to figure out logistics because our previous venue canceled on us. Fundraising's been challenging, bringing people in from all over the country, but it's worth it. You just look around, all these amazing people, different parts of society, socioeconomically, politically, racially. It's great to see all these people coming together to fight police abuse.
Stop by the InfoWars shop and pick up Breakthrough, James O'Keefe's Guide to Guerrilla Journalism.
Well, in a breaking InfoWars exclusive story, we learned that the TSA is going to purchase 3.5 million rounds of ammunition. How much is that? Well, that's enough for each of its agents to fire 9,400 bullets a day, every day of the year. Well, this follows another story that InfoWars broke last week about the U.S. military purchasing 600,000 AK-47 magazines, even though the U.S. military doesn't own AK-47s, and even though there's only about 500,000 U.S. military. Now, what do U.S. veterans believe is behind this buildup?
One of the reasons people enlist in the armed services is to get their college tuition covered. And Marine Stephen Rhodes did just that. He was in for 5 years and then enrolled in college in hopes of playing football as a Blue Raider at Middle Tennessee State University. But the NCAA told MTSU that Rhodes isn't eligible to play this season because he participated in about a dozen games in a military-only playing football league. The official rule keeping Rhodes from playing a game this season is NCAA bylaw 14-2-3-2-1. Steeped in layers of legal jargon, the rule essentially says that student athletes that do not enroll in college within a year of their high school graduation will be charged 1 year of intercollegiate eligibility for every academic year they participate in organized competition. Notice how the mainstream media focuses on this story. And while it's a very important story, there are other things that are happening where our men and women are coming back from war and basically getting sold down the river. InfoWars reported on the mass drugging of U.S. troops that are being forced to take drugs for anxiety and depression. Troops cannot refuse to take the drugs without consequences from their superiors. CNN reported last week that an analysis funded by the Department of Defense suggests that the real reason behind a growing number of military suicides is the underlying mental health issues in the population and not the ones necessarily from war. And here's something you won't hear in the mainstream media. Retired Marine Colonel Pete Martino spoke at a city council public hearing talking about how the U.S. is building a domestic army.
The way we do things in the military is called task organization. You take a command and then you attach units to it in order to accomplish the mission. What's happening is Homeland Security is pre-staging gear, equipment, consistent. What they're trying to do is use standardized vehicles, standardized equipment. So what we're doing here, and let's not kid about it, we're building a domestic army and we're shrinking the military because the government is afraid of its own citizens.
Support the cause. Sign up at PrisonPlanet.tv today, and you can give your username and password to up to 10 people. I'm Gigi Urnetta with an InfoWars Nightly News Alert.
Well, in a strange story out of Tampa Bay, we see that the accused couple, the couple that was accused of kidnapping their own children, say the U.S. tried to control Americans' minds. The Tampa couple accused of kidnapping their young boys and selling with them to Cuba wrote a letter to the Cuban government accusing U.S. officials of trying to control Americans' minds with chemicals spread from airplanes. Now, I believe that that is something that the press is misrepresenting because there's no quotes around this. But listen to what else they said. These attacks included surveillance by the National Security Agency. Oh, that didn't happen, did it? Hacking of our personal computers. Neither did that. Microwave radiation weapons attacks, smart meters, should we say, drugging of our food, that hasn't happened, or false imprisonment, ever heard of the NDAA, and the kidnapping of our two small children. Well, except for that last bit, I think pretty much all of us could say that all the rest of those things have been demonstrably proven, and yet they think that we're so stupid we don't understand that. Actually, it was the government themselves who stole these kids, who kidnapped these kids from their rightful parents, two engineers, and they accused them of being on their way to Armageddon in Louisiana when they first took the Child Protective Services, took these two children. Very sad story, but they really do think we're that stupid. Look at what Warren Buffett said. He said, "The banks will not get this country in trouble, I guarantee it." Now, he didn't say that 7 or 8 years ago. He just said that this weekend, as he put $3 billion into investing in some of the biggest banks. Now, of course, he understands that his banks are not going to get in trouble. But if you have a mortgage that's in trouble, or if you want to make sure that you get a mortgage that's not going to get in trouble with the fraudulent system of MERS that the bankers have set up, then you need to get Clouded Title from InfoWarsStore.com. It'll give you vital information that you need to know about the legal situation that our banksters have put this country into. And besides the legal issues with your title, do you have any property rights at all on your property? Leanne McAdoo has an interview with someone who had that issue with the Dallas police and got SWAT teamed. Stay tuned for that interview right after the break.
Now you can watch Alex Jones live at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
You can also browse the network, the InfoWars Nightly News,
and over 60 movies and documentaries all together in one place.
You can watch the Alex Jones radio show live as it happens.
So check it out, InfoWars.com/show.
Many anthropologists and archaeologists believe that before man even discovered the power to harness and use fire, we were involved in agrarian activities. That is, taking the seeds of plants and then replanting them to produce more. The very foundation of our modern civilization and human culture is centered around the planting and cultivation of edible plants.
Here are some of the amazing deals at InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
The Survival Seed Vault by My Patriot Supply features only the finest survival heirloom seeds for a robust and hardy garden, even in the toughest times. We also have starter varieties of the deluxe seed packages for fruit, salad, salsa, peppers, medical herbs, and more.
Go to the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
And remember, the revolution against tyranny is growing.
The Garden of Eden is a small, intentional community in southwest Arlington, Texas. They're dedicated to freedom, sustainability, and responsibility. Well, since 2009, they've been providing food, shelter, and sustainability education classes and workshops to the public for free. But this month, around 7:30 in the morning, inhabitants of the Garden of Eden were awakened by a SWAT raid for suspicion of being a full-fledged marijuana growth and trafficking operation. Now, when I first heard about this story, I thought, you know, these are probably just hippies growing weed, and then the townsfolk aren't having it, so they sent in the SWAT guys to lay the hammer down. But then I actually spoke with the owner, Quinn Aker, and I realized that he is the real deal, liberty-loving, constitution-toting, sovereign citizen. So we got him on the show because he had a lot to tell us about how he fought these guys. All right, Quinn, well, thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, it's an honor to be here.
So you've actually been fighting the city code ordinances there in Arlington since about February, and you were saying the codes were in violation of your constitutional, your natural and constitutional rights to live freely. So what were some of, what were some of those citations you were dealing with?
Well, you know, it's over the months, it's, you know, piled up more and more and more and more and more, but the original was about a six. There was about six violations that they cited us for, you know, improperly stacked wood, you know, indoor furniture that was outdoors, you know, bushes that were hanging over onto the road, vehicles that were parked on non-cement slabs. And, you know, we immediately cut down the bushes that hung into the road because as honorable people, we thought, well, that could potentially hinder someone's, you know, or inhibit someone's free right to travel. And, you know, that's not ever something that we would consciously do. So, you know, thank you for that, bringing that to our attention. And we did that immediately, not in compliance, but in honor.
Yeah, and those are actually pretty typical citations that homeowners will get. You know, you have this plant is growing here, or your vehicles are parked there. And so you didn't honor the other citations that were actually on your property. How did you kind of go about that, avoiding that?
No, we didn't honor those because we thought that they were ridiculous. And, you know, the real truth is that, you know, we own this land outright. So, you know, we're free men and women here. And we know that. And part of being free is being, you know, secure in our person and our property, being able to pursue our, you know, pursuit of happiness, our spiritual path, to provide for our family. And part of the way we're pursuing our spiritual path and providing for our family is by living this, you know, very sustainable life. And this sustainable life that we live, involves a lot of things that are in violation of their statutes and their codes. You know, so what we did is we, you know, notified them that, you know, we cut the bushes not because we're complying, but because we're honorable and we agree. And we're not complying with these because you don't have any jurisdiction or authority to make us.
And so it seems like that was really what set them off, is that they couldn't establish authority over you. And then, so when did the neighbors and people start noticing that there were drones kind of hovering above your property? Sometimes I believe helicopters were also circling.
Yeah, you know, as far as drones go, we only have one, account where we have, four witnesses that are, you know, willing to testify that they're sure that there was an unmanned drone flying over our land. But helicopters have flown over many times, and, specifically, we know because of an affidavit and a warrant and whatnot from the city itself that they did specifically on a certain day send a helicopter over. You know, they've sent undercover, you know, agents to our land and to our events on multiple occasions. You know, they put patrols outside of our, you know, outside of our gates. You know, they've been, you know, having secret meetings with our neighbors. They've just been trying in every single way they can to, you know, to establish their authority, which they don't have.
Exactly. And so they were obviously hovering over the property trying to find marijuana. Do you think that they
had a justifiable cause for that, or were they just really looking for something?
Well, you know, ultimately what it comes down to is that, you know, originally they sent us these citations, and what they're used to, which is, you know, pretty much always the case, is that someone gets a citation and then the person either fixes it or they pay the bill. And, there's really pretty much no other way around it. Because most people comply, you know, with that authority, that perceived authority, with those statutes, with those codes. You know, we have a different perception of our life, and also we have a lot more awareness of the law than most people do. So we were able to, with law, keep them from doing anything about it. They could not do anything about it, and they knew that. So they were really angry about that. They were also really angry that we were, you know, publicly telling people that they could do nothing about it. And we were publicly, you know, teaching people how to be able to do the same thing. And so that's what really pissed them off. And that's why they've been building a case, you know, since at least March, you know, trying to find any way they could possibly justify, you know, putting some boots and, you know, weapons and trying to destroy us as much as possible.
Right. And so you understand your rights, but you're also teaching others how to understand and apply their rights, which is dangerous to them.
Right.
So we'll talk about that more actually in the second half of the interview, because I really want you to be able to share with people how they can have some control over their own property and exert our God-given natural rights.
Exactly. And that's the most important thing about this whole issue, really, in the end.
Well, so tell me what happened. It was 7:30 in the morning. The SWAT team bust through your door. What was that like? What happened that day?
Well, you know, everyone was in bed except for me. You know, sleeping very peacefully, like we always do. You know, we don't ever wake up at alarms. We get to wake up whenever we want to, sleep as late as we want to. We don't have a schedule per se. Everyone just, you know, pitches in and does the things that they need to do to make sure that what needs to get done gets done. So everyone is sleeping peacefully. You know, we don't lock our doors. We've got little screens with those magnets. You know, so we've just got, open hanging screens. And, I heard some ruckus at the front gate. And, so I stuck my head out to see what it was. And I saw fully battle ready armed, you know, SWAT team, pouring through the land, you know, bulletproof shields, you know, helmets, ski masks, sidearms, assault rifles, you know, the whole getup. And, you know, as soon as that happened, you know, I'm immediately, you know, I'm not scared. I'm just in, you know, highly alert mode. Mm-hmm. And I know that you know, there's nothing really we can do. And, you know, my immediate priority, of course, is the children. We've got two children here. One is just under 2 years old, and one at the time was 2 weeks old, born here in the Garden of Eden, totally healthy, beautiful. And so that was, of course, my main concern. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I immediately went upstairs to wake the mother. You know, she was, you know, asleep, nursing her babies. And, you know, I said, look, a SWAT team is coming, and, you know, it's going to be here. You know, it's already here. It's, you know, going to be any minute before they're up here. So, you know, just prepare yourself. Be as calm as you possibly can. You know, of course, she's a little bit in a state of shock. So she's trying to take some deep breaths, you know, to calm herself down. And I'm just there with her, you know, for, you know, a minute or two, you know, just sort of calming down the energy. And, you know, pretty soon we hear, you know, some shouts from down at the bottom of the stairs. And, you know, I walk, you know, with my hands up above my head, to the top of the stairs and just say, look, there's women and children up here. There's a two-week-year-old infant. We don't have any weapons. You know, we're not violent. We're not here to fight you. You know, just keep really calm. There's nobody up here except for me and the mother of these two children. Just, you know, be calm. And I sort of do a little, you know, Jedi energetics type thing. Just, you know, sort of ease it down because, you know, bad things happen when people are, you know, overamped, over revved up. And,
right.
You know, it's very common that these SWAT team, you know, folk make a lot of mistakes, because, you know, they're trained to kill people.
Right.
And they're coming in with fully loaded assault rifles, and you know they're expecting to, you know, to meet up in this situation. They're sort of expecting to find some, you know, drug cartel. So, you know, I'm just
How many SWAT were there? How many team members were there?
Well, there's no way that we can really for sure, you know, give numbers on that because for the most part, you know, as soon as they got here, of course, they didn't knock, you know, they didn't announce themselves.
Did they show a warrant?
Well, they showed a warrant hours after that they were here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which, you know, in and of itself is already a problem. Mm. But, you know, we were all, you know, held at gunpoint and in handcuffs for hours. So, you know, there was no way that we could walk around and, you know, count heads and take photos and take video and hold people accountable. You know, they're all in, you know, ski masks and, you know, helmets. So there's no way you can, you know, even see their faces. So you couldn't even try to keep track of, okay, that's a new face. That's, you know, 10 new faces. That's a new face. But my estimate would be about 20 fully battle ready SWAT team members and then probably 50 other public servants.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys look like terrorists out there growing the crops and everything. So
yeah, for the record, we have no weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
You know, we don't even have cap guns or fireworks or fertilizer. So
they were there for 10 hours. What were they doing on your property? What exactly transpired?
Well, you know, the warrant that they had that justified the fully battle-armed SWAT team was the drug trafficking warrant. They had a warrant which led them to believe that there was drug trafficking going on here. And they've got a huge list of all the things that they suspected to find, none of which they did find. In fact, on the back of the warrant, it says items none, and then it's got a signature there, I'm guessing, from, you know, whoever the, you know, guy in charge was or whatever. So that was sort of their justification for the, you know, the battle-armed SWAT team. The 10 hours that they spent here, you know, they realized real quickly that there was no drug trafficking going on. They were expecting to find plants and, you know, grow setups and, you know, all sorts of stuff, none of which they did find. So, you know, that whole part was, you know, taken care of within, you know, an hour and a half to 2.5 hours. But then what they did is that, you know, they tried to use this whole, warrant for the drug trafficking as an opportunity also to get onto the land and to basically destroy and steal our stuff. Hmm. So they spent the whole day destroying our land and stealing our stuff.
You said that there was one citation given or?
Yeah, there was one that was arrested and that was me. And, you know, they arrested, me for a supposed, outstanding unpaid traffic ticket.
Hmm. So that was all they could come up with after being there for 10 hours. Had nothing to do with the warrant they had, of course.
Right. Had nothing to do with the warrant, of course. And they didn't show me the warrant for that either.
Right. Yeah. And they knew who you are. They knew where you were. So if you had some outstanding traffic ticket, they could have come at any time. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's almost impossible to get a warrant, you know, to enter someone's property by force for an unpaid traffic ticket. It's pretty much impossible.
Right. Yeah. So.
And so see, what I'm saying is that, you know, the real truth behind this whole issue is that, you know, they're just really, you know, feeling cock blocked, you know, with their macho authoritarian power by our ability to stop them from enforcing their will upon us. And, you know, spent this last, you know, 6 to 8 months building a, you know, trying to build a case and, you know, using undercover cops and helicopters and everything they can to try to find something that can give them, you know, some sort of warranted jurisdiction. And, you know, this is what they finally came up with. But in the end, it wound up being nothing.
All right, Quinn, we'll stick around because I actually want to put this into a second half of the interview because I can tell you've just got a lot of knowledge and we really want to get people fired up to empower them to fight the totalitarianism that's kind of taking over. There is a lot of corruption. So thank you so much for this half of the interview and then we'll be talking with you again about.
Thank you, Leanne.
Thank you. All right, well, there it is, folks. Agenda 21. The Garden of Eden built their own sustainable environment on their property, but the elite still believe that we cannot be trusted to do the right thing on our own property, and we must be managed. And they're going to use these arbitrary drug laws to bust in on your property and violate you and your rights and destroy your way of life. So if you want to learn more about these drug laws and how they're wrecking everything, pick up a copy of American Drug War II. It is being sold exclusively at the InfoWars store for the next few months. Thank you so much for watching. Join us weekdays here at 7 p.m. Central. I'm Leanne McAdoo for the InfoWars Nightly News. Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.